stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a healthy relationship filled with inspiration, love, acceptance, and fun? You are tuned in to the right place. The Laura Richer Show starts now. Join me, dating coach Laura Richer, and my co-host, matchmaker Peggy Bennett, as we share tools for using your dating breakdown for a relationship breakthrough. You might just be on the verge of attracting your soulmate. Attract the relationship you truly want and deserve. Now, join us for the show. Hi there, good morning. I'm Laura Richer, and you're listening to The Laura Richer Show, broadcasting here on Transformation Talk Radio. And I'm very excited about today's show because I'm introducing to you my new co-host, Peggy Bennett. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Laura.
I am so excited to have you here. Peggy is the owner of Straight to the Heart Matchmaking in Bellevue, Washington. And this next year, we are dedicating the whole year to discussing some of our favorite topics, love, dating, and relationships. So I'm so glad that you're joining me.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here with you.
So Peggy, in her practice in matchmaking, as well as me in my business in coaching, we both use the law of attraction to look at how people are attracting or blocking connecting with their soulmates. So that's going to be a topic that we're going to be talking about all season on this show. So Peggy, I would love for our listeners to learn a little bit more about you and your background. So just start with whatever you're comfortable with.
Okay. Well, one thing that comes to mind is back in the day when I was 13, I had my first love. Guess how old he was? He was older. He was 16.
An older man.
Yes. Yeah. We met at a party and we fell madly in love. Mm-hmm. Okay. It lasted for about 3 or 4 months, which back then that's a long time, right? Mm-hmm. My parents ended up finding out how old he was and they forced us to break up. So that was just my first, like, devastating. It was so wonderful to be in love, but it was the most devastating breakup you could imagine.
I bet. Yeah.
And I remember the introverted side of me trying to soothe myself as far as writing in my diary. And then I went to the bookstore and saved money and bought my first nonfiction book on love. It shows what an old soul I am. Leo Biscaglia, okay. Love. So if you can believe that. So that started
at 13.
Oh, at 13. Yeah, that's how I dealt with it. And so that started my whole journey and just kind of obsession with love and my nonfiction library.
Okay. So this was your destiny. Back at 13, you were researching love and trying to figure out how it all works.
And then even a year later in ninth grade, I remember a male friend of mine saying, Peggy, I have the maddest crush on this girl, but I'm so shy, I don't even know how to approach her. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, oh, well, gosh, I'll take care of this. So I introduced them together. And little did I know, flash forward, that I'd actually be doing that as a living today, introducing singles together.
That is so cool.
Isn't that funny?
So how old were you then when you set them up?
Ninth grade.
Okay. So right from the beginning.
So it's kind of comes full circle here.
Yeah. Well, you were the perfect co-host to have because not only do you work on matching people professionally, but you've also been on your own dating journey, both back at 13 and post-divorce. So you're an expert both professionally and personally.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about expert, but I have a lot of experience.
You have a background in it anyway.
I have a lot of experience. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about Straight to the Heart.
So it is what's called a traditional style matchmaking service. And that is that I actually work for the single gentleman. Mm-hmm. And he signs up for an annual membership, and I introduce him to women throughout the year. These women have been completely vetted, so has the gentleman, obviously. And face-to-face and thoroughly, each of them has had discovery sessions with me. So it's completely offline, so it's completely different than an online experience. And I use my intuition and a lot of different things, such as looking at similar lifestyles, personalities, to create potential matches. So
very cool.
Yeah.
So in your business right now, when you're working with a bachelor, because first of all, I'll start with this. So I was noticing some statistics online
45% of the adult population over the age of 18 is either single, divorced, or widowed. And the online dating industry is a $2.5 billion industry. So obviously there are a lot of people looking for love. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people are running into obstacles. So when you're working with a bachelor, how do you know it's somebody that's going to be ready to be matched?
So it's interesting. I'm not the type of person that likes to generalize, but I have to say with men and women who are single, generally speaking, men feel like they're a lot more ready sooner than women.
Okay.
So
are they really?
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question.
Or do they just think that?
Men who are relationship men really like They don't like to be lonely. They don't like to be by themselves. Whereas women are like, oh, you know, post-divorce, I want to take off 1, 2, 3 years and just kind of discover myself. So when I'm talking to a bachelor, he will say, well, I don't know, you know, my family's saying maybe I should wait or whatever. And I'm always saying, you know, everybody's going to have their opinions. It really depends on you. Mm-hmm. I personally don't feel like there's a set time frame. Right. It's so individualized. Everybody kind of has to go through their journey.
Yes. And it definitely, it is a journey.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. And speaking of that, you need to share your journey with us.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, and I have shared on past episodes that I got divorced when I was 35, and I went on a 5-year-long dating journey to meet, and I finally met an awesome partner. But during that 5 years, sometimes it was fun, sometimes it was terrible. It felt like a really long time being 5 years. So after I had that experience, I wanted to help women because I think a lot of women, especially in my age group, your age group, you know, we kind of missed dating. I know when I was younger, there was no online dating, and I always kind of had long-term relationships, so I wasn't really out dating, and then I was married. So at 35, I thought, okay, well, I got to get out there. I guess online is going to be the way to go about that. But, you know, in a lot of ways, I wasn't quite prepared for that. And so through that experience, I decided to create a coaching program to help women who are like me, who are post-divorce, and they're running into some obstacles. And, you know, like you said, a lot of times, and it's true for both, you know, everyone is different, but a lot of times women have a lot of processing that they need to do before they're ready to start dating, although they might not necessarily realize that at the time. I was kind of one of those people that thought like, okay, well, moving on to the next thing. And there really was some self-work that needed to be done before I was ready to be in a good, healthy relationship. So I created my online dating program called Richer Love. If you want to check that out, you can go to richerlove.com, which is a 12-week program. And everything that it took me 5 years to learn, I have put into this 12-week program so I can help women be ready to go to you when they're ready to meet the one, and have cleared out all the old stuff that might be show up as obstacles when they're dating.
Gosh, I love that. 5 years packed into a 12-week, did you say, program?
Yeah, a 12-week program. So 5 years was kind of a long time. I'm kind of a slow learner, obviously. So, yes.
I'm the same way. But looking back, you probably don't really regret it, right? I mean, everything happens for a reason. Don't you feel that way?
Everything happens for a reason, and it was the perfect experience for me to have. But I also kind of was doing it on my own. I didn't have a lot of single friends or a lot of insight into dating. And so I love the idea of being able to teach women how to miss some of the pitfalls that happen. So yes, but it's all perfect. If you've been single for 1 year or 10, it's exactly what's necessary for you. But if you're ready to accelerate the process a little bit, I can help you out.
Right. And just have that guidance and not feel so alone and isolated, right?
Yes, and know that the things that you're running into might be typical of the dating experience, especially, like I said, in my age group that, you know, we didn't have online dating experiences when we were younger. So it is a little bit different to navigate than, you know, just meeting your boyfriend at high school or college or where you might have met them.
And now online is completely saturated.
Yes.
So it is like a part-time job just navigating it.
Absolutely. And I think online is fantastic for dating. I recommend that to my clients to use that as an avenue for connecting with people. You know, a lot of people, and I felt this way myself, I'm busy. I don't really hang out anywhere where I'm probably going to randomly meet people. So it was a great tool to instantly connect with other singles. But you also want to branch out too, I think. I think there's a lot of benefit in connecting with a matchmaker, somebody who's going to be able to work with you and work with the other person and really have some insight into why you might be a good match, or engaging in your hobbies or doing other things. So maybe not only online, but it is a good tool.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. Online is great for dating practice.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it really helps clarify what you like and what you don't like.
Yes.
You know, about what works and what doesn't work, because you meet such a variety of people.
Exactly.
So it just kind of clarifies, right?
Absolutely. And that's part of the journey, too, is you're getting by getting clear on what you don't want, even though those might not be pleasant experiences, you're moving closer to what it is that you're looking for.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. So that's, like you said, it's a journey. It's a process. And if you can look at those experiences, I know sometimes I'd really feel defeated. I'd have a string of bad dates and I'd be like, oh God, I don't want to go through this anymore. But if you can have the right frame of mind when you're going into it and really think, you know what, this is just another experience that's showing me what I want. It's giving me more clarity. You can actually have a lot more fun.
No, definitely. Yeah. That's what I learned is when I was dating online, it was to have that right mindset and treat it as fun, and you just never know who you're going to meet.
Yeah.
And
I think if I remember correctly, you had a different mindset than me when you started dating. You really went into it thinking, I haven't been single for a while. I'm just going to practice and see what happens. I'm not necessarily looking for a relationship right off the bat.
And getting ready for this show, I remembered that I'm a little embarrassed to admit this, that I was really naive when I just started, is I actually got catfished.
Oh, well, that happens.
A matchmaker, got that, Benny? A matchmaker got catfished.
What happened?
It happens.
Happens to the best of us. It just shows how kind of naive I was to the situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just in case somebody doesn't know what catfishing is, it's when somebody is pretending to be someone other than they actually are on online dating and tries to engage you.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Boo and them.
Yeah.
When it's too good to be true.
Right?
Usually it's too good to be true.
Well, you were looking for love. You were looking for... So, of course, when somebody interesting comes up, how could you not at least have it pique your... How did you find out you were being catfished?
When it probably lasted about 2.5 months. He was very, very good at doing what he was doing. And then he started asking for money.
Oh, okay.
That was the red flag.
Oh, never give anyone.
No, I never did. Yeah. I never did.
Yeah.
No.
For our listeners, too, if you haven't started online dating yet and you're thinking about it, if anyone asks for money, steer clear.
Yeah. That's. But believe me, they are very good at what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. So you do. I mean, there's really great people that you can connect with. And then there's... As in life, there's really great people you can connect with, and there's some weirdos out there that you have to try to avoid. Yeah.
And besides that, that was the only thing. That was kind of like a wake-up call.
Yeah.
But everything else, I mean, all the other guys I have met through online really have been great experiences. Did we have that connection and chemistry? Not necessarily, but it was a great experience.
Yeah.
Because I just thought to myself, I'm only going to go into it with a positive mindset if I feel burnout or I just feel like, oh, I don't want to do it, then I'm going to take a break. And that's what I suggest to people to do.
I suggest the same thing. And I think that is really important. If you feel burned out, if you're not feeling good about yourself or feeling in a negative frame of mind for whatever reason, just take yourself out of the game for a little while. Nothing good is going to come to you when you're dating in a negative mindset.
Right. Yeah. Right. You don't know who you're going to attract.
Probably not who you want.
Yeah.
And actually, that takes me to a quote that I have here. It's Charles F. Glassman, who's the author of Brain Drain, The Breakthrough That Will Change Your Life. He says, before you find your soulmate, you must first discover your soul. Mm-hmm. So I love that quote, and it makes me think about what we've just been talking about, is that, you know, part of the process is getting to know yourself better. So you may not be, if your relationship hasn't shown up quite yet, you might not be ready for it yet. You might still be learning things about yourself and getting more of that clarity about what you really want. And that time is just as important too. And so if you can allow yourself to have that experience without any fear, because lots of fear comes up. I was guilty of that when I was dating. I had this idea that I have got to meet somebody before I turn 40. I don't know what I thought was going to happen when I turned 40, but I you know, this is the time frame it had to happen in. Of course, as it always works, I didn't meet someone until after I turned 40, since I had set that limitation. But I think that if I could have relaxed into that process a little more and just known that this is the journey that I'm on and just go with it and enjoy it, it would have been a more fun experience. So that's what I like to teach people in Richer Love.
No, that's true. And I remember, you know, I was married for 20 years. So post-divorce, I was really afraid of being by myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because you're used to having someone around all the time. So it's
all the time.
Yeah.
So I just kind of didn't want to face my stuff that was going on necessarily. So I kept busy dating, but you got to be careful about dating for the wrong reasons.
Right.
Then finally, I just kind of slowed down and it's like, okay, that saying, you got to date yourself, you know, just take time and really focus on self-care and take care of yourself. And
do you ever have women that you come across with that you work with in your matchmaking business that you can just tell are not ready for dating?
Every so often, I get women who haven't gotten over their ex.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do they just tell you that, or can you sense that about them?
I can sense it.
What do you pick up when you're working with
them?
Their
energy.
Okay. Yeah. Does it feel needy and desperate?
I don't know if it, I guess a little and slash bitter.
Yeah, bitter. That's another time to take yourself out of the game when you're feeling
bitter.
That's
what I feel.
Yeah.
Like it, like they haven't completely healed.
Okay.
It is just kind of a gut instinct, and then we talk about it, and then it comes through, and sometimes there's tears, and it comes to surface once I start asking questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you really have a pretty in-depth process when you're working with someone to make sure that they're going to be a good match for the bachelor that you're working with.
Yeah, it's an hour discovery session, and then I also include romance angel card reading.
Ooh, fun.
I know.
Tell
women
our listeners who don't know, tell us about a romance angel card reading.
Well, it's a deck of cards that I use, and I intuitively pull out three. I'll have to do some for you.
Yeah.
It's you can do it whether you're in a relationship or not.
I would love to do that. Yeah. See what the angels have to say.
And I do it after the discovery session, and it's just kind of great talking points. Sometimes women are like, are you kidding? And they just look at me like, this is so powerful. I've had tears before. But at the very minimum, it's just really good conversation points to talk about.
Yeah, so it can give them a really good message, or is a tool to kind of help coach them and bring them out even more.
Right.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I have another quote that kind of goes along with what we're talking about, and this is Joe Vitale. Do you know Joe Vitale? I really enjoy his work, and he really works with the law of attraction, which we will be talking about quite a bit in our series as we move forward. But he says, it's really important that you feel good, because this feeling good is what goes out as a signal into the universe and starts to attract more of itself to you. So the more that you can feel good, the more you will attract the things that help you feel good and that will keep bringing you up higher and higher. So that really speaks to what we're talking about, that we're all reading each other's energy all the time, whether we know it or not. So I know sometimes when I had a negative dating experience, I was probably feeling pretty negative, and I showed up as I always do, being, you know, friendly and making conversation. But I think we can just sense that on each other, whether we're saying it or not. So you really want to do the work to make yourself feel good, so you're putting out that good vibe, and then you will attract good circumstances to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that quote, and some people might think, oh, that's kind of common sense. But it does take work and mindset to get to that place.
And I don't think for a lot of people that I've worked with, and I know for myself when I was just starting dating, it wasn't common sense. I thought, well, I feel kind of like crap, but if I meet somebody good, then I'll feel better.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, and I think that's the mindset for a lot of people, and it's actually the opposite of that. When I met somebody really great, when I finally met my boyfriend, I was in such a good place in my own life. I was really loving my business and my friends and having gratitude for all the great relationships that were already in my life. So I didn't have like a needy energy. Mm-hmm. I just felt good. And so then something good came into my experience.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so true. Yeah. That's so true.
I worked with a very difficult client at one point in my business that she's like, I'm just not going to feel good until somebody shows up. And until then, I'm just going to be mad about it. And I'm like, well, it's not going to go very good.
And so how did you deal with that?
You know, she wasn't ready to shift yet. So she was really, I don't know if she has since changed her mind about that, but I was not able to change her thought process around that she would have to feel good first. But I do know during the time I was working with her that nothing good was showing up for her. So I think that that's kind of how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any difficult bachelors? I know that you do coaching with your bachelors as well.
Well, it's, you know, the membership they sign on to is a year membership. Mm-hmm. So it's ongoing coaching. And it's a great actual, it's a journey because it's a year. So it's just, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon that we're on. So we just kind of discuss things like post the first date. Afterwards, they give me feedback and it's great talking points on how to just talk about what their impressions were of her and vice versa. And it's just kind of ongoing. But yeah, it's fascinating. It's we think that men for the most part are super confident and got it going on. And, you know, I don't have brothers. I'm family of all sisters.
I don't have any brothers either. So
it's been great to learn. And I love men. And I have to say, I just love how they can just open up to me and just really confide in me. And they don't know all the answers.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to figure it out just like we are.
Right. So do you come across any maybe common misconceptions or mindsets that your bachelors are in that you work with them to shift and then they start to see positive results afterwards?
Gosh, I'm trying to think of, I guess the biggest thing is of them, what I end up coaching a lot and saying a lot over and over again is keep an open mindset.
Okay.
And and that means on physically, like what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And also just don't put so much judgment in the first date.
Yeah.
The people's expectations are so huge on this first date. And I just think first date is a means to a second date. It's almost like an icebreaker. It's everybody puts so much pressure on that first date.
Right. Right. And you can't, you know, how long do you think a first date should last?
Ideally, I love the right around an hour and a half. It's not too short, but it's not too long. It's a couple drinks and appetizers.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
That's what I think, no more than 2 hours. So you're, like you said, it's just a meet and greet icebreaker.
Right.
Just getting to know each other a little bit. So you can't make a decision just based, I guess if something went really awry, you could make a snap decision.
And the other thing is, I tell singles, it's not what you see on the movie screen as far as the fireworks and the chemistry and immediate. I mean, maybe that happens, but to be honest with you, that's rare on first dates for that to actually happen.
I would
happen.
Even go as far to say that I think that that's a red flag.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. So we're on the same page with that. It can. That's why I say is literally I say that can be a red flag.
Especially if you're looking for a long-term relationship, that really hot and heavy, we can't keep our hands off of each other the second we meet. That's probably not going to – it's going to burn out really fast.
It burns out as fast as it comes on. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. We're on the same page with that. And, yeah, I've been guilty of being in that. I remember going after my divorce – it seemed like I should be going to a post-divorce therapist. So I went, and I remember her saying, because I met a couple guys just organically, and she goes, you know what, Peggy? I think you're addicted to being infatuated.
Yeah. And what did you think when she said that
to you? I was just like, is that okay? Like, is that a bad thing? And she goes, well, I think it's just kind of a way of escaping right now.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, wow, okay. That's when I force myself to slow down a little.
I talk about that with my clients all the time, that the, you know, what we see in movies, these really like quick, passionate, often dysfunctional situations. Like I think of like Pretty Woman, for example, where he comes and rescues her from a life of prostitution. In real life, that is not going to work out. You know, in real life, that's not a situation that you want to be involved in. But it all sounds very romantic. But if that's what you're looking for in your your dating experiences some really high highs, that's also going to come with some really low lows. And it's not going to cultivate a healthy long-term relationship.
You don't, but in my defense, because I've gone through it, at the time, it just kind of happens. And then the hormones start happening, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it happens to all of us.
Oh, I think so. And that's happened to me before, too. Do you think that comes at a time, though, when you're not really ready for a relationship?
Yeah, definitely.
So you're just getting caught up in maybe the drama of what's going on, but you're not quite ready for something healthy and long-term.
Right. I think so. Looking back, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, and there's no 100% one size fits all for everybody. Somebody has had a long-term relationship born out of that circumstance, I'm sure, somewhere in history. But but typically, that's probably not what you're going to find.
Right, yeah. Right. So tying back to the first dates, it's just real. I mean, I love the whole love industry. And I actually talk to couples that have had long relationships. Mm-hmm. I mean, married 30 to 50 years, and some of them even talk about how awful their first dates were.
I feel like, yeah, or right? That they were just like, eh,
or they're
I don't
just
know.
Okay. Yeah. So that's one message that I really like to tell people.
To keep an open mind.
Right.
All right. Well, Peggy, tell our listeners how they can find you if they're interested in connecting with a matchmaker.
Oh, sure. Well, my website is straighttotheheart.net. My company's name is Straight to the Heart. And then also I host a podcast called Real Souls.
Fantastic. And if you're not quite ready to connect with a matchmaker yet and want to work on some of your own stuff, you can connect with me at richerlove.com, or you can go to our Facebook page, The Laura Richer Show, and get more information. So stay tuned for the next section of the show, because we are going to be giving you the 5 must-dos to attract your soulmate. Are you feeling stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a healthy relationship filled with inspiration? You might just be on the verge of attracting your soulmate. Tune in each month to The Laura Richer Show, where dating coach Laura Richer and co-host matchmaker Peggy Bennett share tools for using your dating breakdown for a relationship breakthrough. For more information, visit richerhealinghypnosis.com.
Demystifying the Journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot, metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Matanga with Grow Your Soul Radio. Life is full of challenges and surprises. Your guidance is to move with the current, for it is in resisting the flow that creates problems. Ask your angels to help you open up your mind and heart to new ideas and fresh options. When you accept the possibility that there are other ways, previously unseen doorways will be open to you, and you will move easily through change. There is a solution to every problem, so look at things with eyes of love and expectation. Then your life force will flow freely through you. You will feel healthy and alive, and will be able to access the necessary resources and wisdom within yourself to help you through change. I'd love to take this journey with you. Visit my website, enlightened-path.com, so we can explore all that is possible.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
High frequency healing for an amazing life with Source Light Radio. Join host Laura Barton each month on Transformation Talk Radio as she explores Source Light integration, a unique spectrum of energy, light, and frequency. Experience instantaneous healing and amazing shifts in consciousness with Source Light Integrations Radio. For more information on Laura and her work, visit SourceLightIntegrations.com.
And we are back for more on the Laura Richer Show on Transformation Talk Radio. I am your host, Laura Richer, and I'm here with my co-host, matchmaker Peggy Bennett. And today we're talking about our favorite topic, love. So me and Peggy are going to give you our top five must-dos for finding your soulmate. So I'm going to kick it off here. The first thing is love yourself and realize that you are a whole and complete individual already. So we touched on this in the last segment that if you're feeling like you're just feeling bad and somebody's going to make you feel better, that's not going to work. You have to already feel your best. Have you found that to be true, Peggy?
Oh, absolutely. And it is, it's a journey. I know for myself, it takes a long time, mm-hmm. right? If you're kind of stuck in that place where you're not feeling good about yourself. It takes time, but that's why there's people like you in this world, right?
Exactly. Exactly. We at Richer Love, that's exactly what we do, is get you feeling really good, letting go and ready to get started dating. So, you know, when I talk to clients about this and I say love yourself, they're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've heard that before, whatever. What does that even mean? And it does. It sounds like an old cliche, right? But mm-hmm. it is really so important. And I think when you dig in a little deeper to what does it mean to really love yourself? To me, what that means is that you have your own back, that you know that you're going to make the best choices to take care of you, that you're not going to allow toxic or abusive people into your life, and that you're going to be gentle with yourself when you're not feeling well and mm-hmm. put yourself out there when you're feeling great and be bold, and that you're just really listening to your own inner voice, and that your own inner voice isn't some crazy witch that's berating you on a daily basis, because that's a sign that you're not loving yourself.
Right.
So that's what that means to me. And also, like, really knowing that you are a whole and complete individual. You're not lacking anything. You're not waiting for someone to complete you.
Oh, yeah. Like that Jerry Maguire.
Exactly. That line was a huge problem. You know,
and knowing your boundaries,
yes,
I think is huge too, right?
Absolutely.
You treat people how you want to be treated.
Yes. And you don't, and you show people how they can and can't treat you.
Yes.
So people don't feel safe to date sometimes. I'll have clients who've been in toxic relationships and they'll say, well, I want to start dating again, but I'm afraid because I don't want to attract the same experience that I just got myself out of. And so if you have good boundaries, if you say no to the things that don't work for you,
mm-hmm.
That probably isn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think, Peggy, on this topic of loving yourself? Because I know it's kind of a cliche, you know, people kind of go, oh, yeah, I love myself. But, I mean, it really is very important.
It is. I actually did, I think they call it mirror work, mm-hmm. Over a decade ago, because I was just in a real low place with my marriage and not feeling good about myself. So I actually did that. Have you heard of that mirror work?
No, but is it when you look in the mirror?
Yeah.
Is that a Louise Hay?
It is.
Okay,
it
yes.
Is.
I have heard of that. And it is, and I've actually tried it. And it is very powerful. But it's interesting how uncomfortable it is.
It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, especially when you're not feeling good about yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, is this going to actually work? But mm-hmm. it actually did. But like I say, it is a journey to get there and know that it's not uncommon to feel those feelings, but it's so important to feel good about yourself and having those boundaries. And
if you don't feel good, that's okay too. This is just, that just means that there's healing that needs to happen,
right,
and
right.
work that needs to be done. And so don't feel bad about feeling bad, because that's not going to help anything, but just be able to face those things. So mirror work is when you just look in the mirror and say, Laura, I love you. And I actually tell my clients to do that, because it can be very powerful. And your level of discomfort with it, if you're really uncomfortable, you know you definitely need it.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember just saying that and then just tears running down. But I was like, it was at that time where I'm like, I'm going to stop being a victim. I felt like I was kind of being a victim mm-hmm. in my life. And I'm just like, this is it. And I just changed my mindset, and I can take control and do what I want to do. And it's up to me to make the difference.
Absolutely. Victim mentality never yields a positive result, because you don't feel empowered to change anything. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So after doing that work, how did you feel?
I felt great, but it took, I have to say, several months to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there is no, there, you know, it just depends on the person and where they're at and how ready they are to commit to making changes. myself being a hypnotherapist, sometimes I get clients who really are like, just hypnotize me and then it'll all be okay. And as much as I wish that that was true, and hypnotherapy is an amazing tool and I recommend that everyone try it. However, that's not how it works. It really is, like you've said, it's a process and a journey, and it does take some time and some effort. I wish I had the three magic words to heal everybody, but that's not it.
Right. But I bet that is a good tool. Do you use that as a tool, though?
Oh, it's a great tool. So hypnosis, if it works with the subconscious. So we have our conscious mind, which is all the information that we're already thinking about, all of our memories that we're mulling over and over again and analyzing. That's everything that's in our conscious awareness. However, the subconscious mind has everything. So every memory, thought, experience we've ever had is stored in the subconscious mind. However, we may not be aware of it. We may not remember something that has happened. And so you think, well, why does it matter to look at that then? Well, the reason it's important is even though we're not aware of that information, sometimes it's still influencing our responses and our behaviors. So, you know, for in terms of finding a love relationship, what I see with a lot of clients is they kind of have, if they've been in a negative relationship prior to starting to look for a new one, they almost have kind of a PTSD response to their past relationship. So whenever, you know, maybe the guy that they're newly dating has texted them and said, hey, I have to reschedule our date because, you know, I have to, something's come up at work or something. And they go from like, well, he obviously hates me, so I'm going to just block him and defriend him and move on with my life. And what they're responding to is not that this person has needed to reschedule, because most likely that's not really a big deal, but that somebody has abandoned them before in a past relationship. And so it's triggering those feelings of being abandoned. And so they're just going from like 0 to 100 in a second. And what ends up happening is they keep recreating the same experience of being abandoned because that's what they believe is going to happen to them anyway. That's what's in their subconscious. So that's why hypnosis is a great tool. And I use hypnosis quite a bit in the Richer Love program to help clients work through their stuff and release the obstacles that are holding them back from connecting with their soulmate, with their person that they're looking for.
That sounds so powerful. And that kind of leads into the second point, which is let go of the past.
This is very important. So tell me your experience, either your own experience or clients, in helping let go of the past.
Well, one, sometimes I give my clients or members homework assignments. Mm-hmm. And if I feel like something comes up where they're still needing a little more healing with their ex, I have them actually write down a letter to them and just... you write it as if you know you're not going to be sending it to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't send it. That's usually not the point. Yeah.
But you write everything and you just get raw with your feelings, write it out, and then literally have a burning ceremony with it and just let it go.
I feel like that is such a good, first of all, it really helps you get in touch with what you're holding on to. Something about sitting down with pen and paper and really thinking about it versus just letting it come into your mind, I think it takes you to a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
And then the symbolism of burning it and just like energetically just releasing that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And how about with your clients? What is your...
So, you know, letting go is a very, I think forgiveness and letting go of the past is a really layered process. So it doesn't happen all in one day. And sometimes, you know, I even know with my own experience of letting go of the past, where I think like, yeah, I'm really over that past situation. I've moved on with my life. And then something maybe later would trigger it. I'd think of something from the past that was upsetting to me. And I'd be like, oh, wow, there's still something there to that. There's still a little bit of an emotional hook, a little bit of a trigger. So I don't think it happens all at once. And don't beat up on yourself if it doesn't. I think that's a normal part of the process. But I have a lot of clients ask me about how are you able to let go? Because it's so strong for them. Something happened 20 years ago and they're living in that experience. So I think if you keep focusing on the negative past, this is kind of simple but really true. If you keep focusing on the negative things that happened on the past, you're just reliving them over and over. So I think a good tool that you can use to move forward is to start focusing your attention on the future that you're wanting to create. And your mind might keep trying to pull you back into the past and be like, yeah, but remember when this happened? And you kind of have to have a little inner battle with your mind and say, okay, yep, I know that happened, but I'm moving in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
So even in therapy, sometimes I think it can be detrimental to continue to focus on the past over and over and again, because you never move forward from it.
That's such a good point. Yeah. Right. And maybe I like how you said, when you do think about the past, let that be kind of a trigger and a reminder to create the present and future.
Yes. Yeah. And notice how you feel when you're thinking about it. Because, you know, like we mentioned in the last segment, you want to feel really good to attract your soulmate. So mm-hmm. if you're feeling really bad thinking about past situations all the time, and, you know, there may be work that needs to be done. You may need to go back and review those situations and learn from them and process them. So, you know, we can't just skip over things in life. But at the same time, if it's, you know, if your divorce was 20 years ago and you're still hating your ex-husband like you did the day you got divorced, you know, maybe it's time to focus on moving forward.
Yeah.
I do see a lot of people get stuck for long periods of time.
No, definitely. So what's the third one?
So I love this one. And Albert Einstein says, your imagination is your preview of life's coming attraction. So this goes along with what I said on focusing what you want to create. So number three is start living as if your soulmate is already here. And the first time I heard about this concept was in Arielle Ford's Soulmate Secret. Have you read her book?
I haven't, but okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, she uses the law of attraction to connect with your person. But she just started to live her life feeling in love already, just loving her friends, loving her family, creating space to have a partner in her life. And she just fully expected that that person was going to show up, and eventually they did.
No, I love that. I'm obviously into homework assignments because I give my clients another homework assignment.
Yeah, I love it. It's very powerful.
And it is to write a dear soulmate letter. So you actually, and it's pen to paper the old-fashioned way, and you actually say, dear soulmate. And you can start off by saying, you're everything and more that I've ever dreamed of. You're writing it as if he or she is in your life already.
Yeah.
Down to, you know, for instance, I love to kiss. So down to even kissing him or her or all those details. And then you just tuck it away, put it, you know, next to your bedstand. And then it's pretty powerful when you do have that written, and then you can end up giving it to him or her.
Yeah, that is so cool.
But it actually, while you're writing it, it does a couple things. It puts you really in the present as if you're feeling it, but also clarifies to the universe what it is that you're wanting, the qualities that you want to attract.
Which I think is so important for a lot of times people don't even have the clarity of what they're wanting to attract. They just think they want something, but they don't even know exactly what it is. And I was kind of like that when I was younger. If you'd ask me what kind of person I was looking, a guy I was looking for, I'd be like, well, you know, cute and funny. That was like it. And that led me down a lot of really interesting paths. So there was a little more to it than that. But
you got clear, though, that during the path, going down the path, right?
Yeah.
It gives you clarity, right?
Absolutely. Yes, it definitely does. And it did. So the other thing that you said that I really like that I think is such an important part of this process is to be able to feel it already. We have to already feel what we're wanting to attract to us, or because if it feels so foreign and it feels so far away and just not possible, we just can't line up with that. We can't connect with that experience. Yes, writing that letter, I love that idea. So you can really feel what it's going to be like to connect with that person.
I use with feeling, with the emotion, is I personally love music. So you can even Google, unless you have it off the top of your head, but what your favorite love song is.
Okay.
And even if it's a powerful video, you can watch that and listen to that. And that gets you totally into that mindset, too.
That, I have never heard that as an idea before, but that's a great idea because some romantic love song that makes you feel those feelings of being in love, put that on repeat if you're looking to meet somebody. And just really, like, like I said, you have to process the past, but really the more that you can focus on what it is you're trying to create, Jack Canfield, an author who also has written quite a bit about the law of attraction, says, the law of attraction states that whatever you focus on, think about, read about, and talk about intensely, you're going to attract more of into your life. So focusing on what you want, not what you don't want. And already falling in love, feeling those feelings of love already for yourself, for your life, all of that is just getting you closer to what you are looking for. So number four on the list, and this kind of relates with what Jack Canfield says, quit talking about how much you hate being single. What you focus on grows.
That's such a common thing. It can unfortunately just get into a bad pattern mm-hmm. with people
yeah.
just complaining.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to get into that pattern, unfortunately.
Well, and it's valid, right? I mean, if you're single and you don't like being single, I mean, it's true. You're not enjoying the experience that you're having. And so it's kind of hard to shift out of that. But if you're going to continually talk about that, and that this is something that I was absolutely guilty of when I was dating, is I'd have a few bad dates. I'd just get sick of the process and just think, you know, why is this not happening already? I hate this. And in hating it, I just really kind of dug my heels in and just kept that energy, kept that situation locked in place. And the more I talked about how much I hated it, the more I hated it, because what I was focusing on was not liking it. And so that's all I could see.
Mm-hmm,
and I see mm-hmm. that with clients quite a bit.
And it's what it is. It's giving you that scarcity mindset,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like someone who wants to have abundance in their life, right? Like money. And
yeah.
they're saying how broke they are all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
And
it's
just
a
focusing.
Scarcity mindset.
It's exactly, yeah, exactly the same thing. And the more you focus on it, just the worse it gets.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And even if it's not that bad, when I reflect back on what was happening with me when I was in those situations where I was like, oh, I hate this. It wasn't really that bad. It's just that I had just go out and so invested in the idea that I hated what was happening. It was there was really not that much happening, but I just, you know, I was thinking about how much I hated it and putting a time limit on when things had to happen. And yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I can tell you from personal experience, if you're looking to meet someone and you're talking about how much you hate being single, they are not going to show up until you stop doing that.
Yeah.
Did you do that at all when you started dating?
I actually was the opposite. I was like, because of my marriage wasn't the healthiest, so I got out and I was just like, oh, I was like a kid in the candy store. So I was like,
opportunity everywhere. Yeah,
and I love people, and I yeah. love to meet people. So I just thought of it as just a great thing to do. And what's the harm of just one date, even if mm-hmm. it doesn't work out, just to meet? So I don't know. I had a really good time. So I had a really good experience.
Good. Good. Well, you were in the right mindset for it then. That's exactly where I want to get people to be before I send them over to you.
Definitely.
You know what I do? And I feel so much compassion for my clients who are like, I cannot, like, I feel like I'm going to break if there's just one more bad thing that happens. I have taken too much, suffered too much heartache and had too much disappointment. And I just can't take another second of it. And I absolutely get feeling that way. And that's a good time to just take yourself out of the game and work on you for a little while. But I also invite people to maybe change the story that they're telling themselves. And instead of talking about how they hate being single all the time, start to look for possibilities of things going right. I mean, maybe you have a friend that met somebody great, or maybe you have a famous couple that you think their relationship looks really cool. Start to look for examples of positive things happening, because we're always dialing into what we believe is true. So if I believe nothing's ever going to work out, my mind will just keep looking for examples of that. So I have to at least be
open. Isn't
that
the truth?
Yep,
right.
Absolutely. So
right.
You have to be open to the idea that it could work out.
Mm-hmm.
And that it will work out right on time.
Right. And at the end of the day, we have no idea how we're going to meet that special someone,
mm-hmm.
right? And like you said in the first segment of the show, it's, you know, go online dating, hire a matchmaker, or even in real life.
Yeah.
You know, it can happen. So just be really open
to whatever experience. That is another block I see with people, is that they put really strict guidelines into how things have to happen. So I don't want to meet anyone online. It has to be organically. Okay, well, you're cutting out a major avenue for connecting with other people
mm-hmm.
when you do that. So then I want to go kind of deeper and see, you know, are you really ready? Is there something else going on where if you're putting up such a big block, or I have to meet them in this timeline? Or even some of my younger gals that I work with that are like in their late 20s, early 30s, are like, well, we've got a date for 6 months and be engaged after that, and then we'll get married in
a
year.
Have it all figured out.
Yeah, and then when it's not happening on that time, then they start to get really stressed out. So really quick, the last point that we have, and I think this is the most important out of the five, so take note of this. Have standards and do not settle for less. Be clear on what you want and go for that. Make sure that you are always looking to meet your own standards. So Esther Hicks, who talks about the law of attraction all the time, says, if you want it and expect it, it will be yours very soon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like we can fall into patterns that aren't always healthy. And one thing I talk about is to, if in doubt, is listen to your body. If you're not being treated well, your body will let you know. So
true. With pain or sickness, or even if you're just having that emotional response in your stomach that,
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
That is absolutely true. And I think a lot of the disappointment in dating that I see with people is that they have standards and then they have a scarcity mindset and they think, well, you know, I'm 40, so I better drop this and that because who's going to, you know, and then they are dating people who don't meet their standards and then they're disappointed. Well, of course you're disappointed. You're not trying to connect with what you're actually looking for.
No, that's a really good point.
Yeah. One who was an example of somebody that I was working with, it was just continually upset with the person that she was dating. Oh, she didn't think he was motivated enough, and she didn't like his career, and there was a couple other things that just didn't – her lifestyle and his lifestyle didn't really line up. But instead of saying, you know, this is a person that isn't matching with me, isn't what I'm looking for, she just got really set on it. It had to be him, but he had to change. So, of course, she was locked in this struggle because she picked a person that hadn't met her standards – and then decided she wanted to put some energy into changing him.
Yeah. And how do you deal with a client like that?
Well, I mean, I've been that person, so I understand what that mindset is like. Just trying to guide them towards the idea that, like, there's a world full of people, and we're not going to be – just because somebody doesn't meet our standards doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just means we might not be compatible with them, and that there is somebody that you actually can be compatible with. So maybe be open to the possibility that that person – can show up. Do you ever come across that in your practice, with your clients?
I haven't, except for the fact, like I was saying before, that I come in contact with women who've had, like, sometimes not healthy relationships, and so they have compromised themselves, right?
Yeah.
And so it kind of, I guess, ties into that self-love and self-respect also, is not settle for less. And you deserve to be with a great guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, this has been such an amazing conversation, and I'm so excited to keep it going. On The Laura Richards Show, we are going to be talking about love, dating, and relationships for the rest of the year. So we have a lot more tips and advice to give you moving forward. Peggy, thank you so much for being a part of the show. And can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I can be found at straighttotheheart.net. That's my website. And also, I have a podcast, Real Souls.
Fantastic. And if you're not quite ready to be matched yet, you can connect with me at richerlove.com, or also go to Facebook and like our page, The Laura Richer Show. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to The Laura Richer Show, using your dating breakdown for a relationship breakthrough. Join dating coach Laura Richer and myself, matchmaker Peggy Bennett, every second Monday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. If you've been feeling stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem, you'll want to tune in each month for tools on how to attract the relationship you truly want and deserve. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit RicherHealingHypnosis.com.